Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Just where is our planet Earth headed? What is coming for our human race? There seems to be a lot of asking of those questions, a lot of uneasiness in the hearts of men. It was just a couple of weeks ago that the renowned physicist Stephen Hawking made a claim. He gave an expiration date to human life on Earth, more or less. He said that within 1,000 years, maybe less, man won't have a home on Earth anymore due to whatever happenings here on Earth. So we'd better get to Mars fast and learn how to colonize inhospitable planets. We'd better find ourselves another home somewhere in the galaxy because this one's days are numbered, so he said. Now, a lot of people seem to know, or sense at least, that something dreadful is coming to the Earth. Apocalyptic visions of catastrophe and destruction, either for our race or for our planet or both, are commonplace. Whether it's due to climate change or war or an unfortunately aimed asteroid, the loss of the ozone layer, solar radiation, the degradation of Earth's magnetic field, supervolcanoes, or alien invasion, the people of Earth seem to suspect that something dreadful is coming on the Earth. And they're right, but they don't know rightly what it is. Their suspicions are warranted. Something dreadful is coming. And you and I do know what it is because we believe the words of Jesus. It's called the day of the Lord, when He comes for judgment to wipe out not just the earth, but the heavens as well. And leading up to that dreadful day are those mostly dreadful signs that Jesus also talked about and told His disciples about ahead of time almost 2,000 years ago. Now, what should we be watching for leading up to that dreadful day, as we sang in our first hymn? What are these signs? You heard several of them mentioned in Luke's Gospel from chapter 21. Matthew in chapter 24 adds other signs in this same speech of Jesus to His disciples. And combined, we might classify 9 signs that should keep us awake, focused, and ready for the day of the Lord. 9 signs that sound the alarm, the end really is coming. Number 1, there will be signs in the sun, in the moon, and in the stars. Now what does that mean? Asteroids, sunspots, solar and lunar eclipses, supernovae, exploding stars in the universe? Maybe. And if that is what Jesus was referring to, then those signs have been around for a long time already. But Matthew's gospel puts the signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, in the heavenly powers, at the end. He writes, immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from heaven and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven. So I'm of the opinion that the heavenly signs Jesus was referring to will really come not until the very end, but the others. Think about them. The second sign mentioned, there will be distress of nations with perplexity. anguish and anxiety, stress and unrest in the nations. Not for everyone, not all the time, but enough that it's noticeable. Have you noticed a growing amount of anguish and anxiety in the world, stress and unrest in the nations? It's really not that hard to find. Number three, the sea and the waves roaring. To those signs in nature, Matthew adds earthquakes, famines, and pestilences in various places. Have you heard of any of those things recently? Number four, in Matthew's gospel, Jesus speaks of wars and rumors of wars, nations rising up against nations and kingdoms against kingdoms. Well, tell me a time when that hasn't been the case. When I was growing up, several conflicts and two world wars had already happened just in the 20th century. And at that time, there was the Cold War, the rumor of World War III and nuclear holocaust. Today, it's cyber warfare, the Middle East, monetary crises, and growing tensions among the world's superpowers and also the smaller powers. Number five, men's hearts fainting from fear and the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth. Do you see that happening all around you? The suicide rate is growing at a terrible rate. The global panic over global warming, or is it global cooling? It was 40 years ago. Or is it just climate change? Over the past 40 years, the terms have changed, and the end of life on Earth has been predicted, and the timelines have come and gone, and we're still here. But they keep predicting. It's a wonder we're still here. To be frank, whether or not there is massive climate change, and there's reason to believe there's things changing in the climate, certainly, much of the alarmism is caused by hypocrites who are pushing an agenda to cripple capitalism and to raise up socialism and even fascism. Many people on earth are truly alarmed about the things they expect, fainting from fear and the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth. The problem is that they just don't believe Jesus' words about the cause and the outcome of those things. Number six, Matthew writes that Christians will be hated and persecuted and put to death. We saw such rabid hatred of Christians right away in the first centuries of the Christian church. We saw it again to a degree at the time of the Reformation. But I would suggest that never before in the Christian era has Christianity been as widely and as openly hated as it is today. And you can think of all sorts of examples, big and small, from creation-believing students being ridiculed by their teachers to bakers and photographers being fined, to synodical suspensions of pastors, to Christians in other parts of the world having their heads removed and their bodies burned. See the signs for what they are. Number seven, Matthew mentions the great dissemination of false doctrine and false prophets in the world, and many Christians falling away from the faith, and many being deceived by false doctrine. There have always been plenty of false doctrines being taught and idols being worshipped in the world. That's nothing new. But this false doctrine that Jesus is talking about is a sign within the visible external Christian church. It's true, some churches split and divide over non-doctrinal issues. Some people want this color carpet, other people hate that color carpet, and so they leave. Those things really do happen, and that's tragic. But the vast majority of Christian confessions or denominations around the world exist because of differences in doctrine. And any doctrine that is different than that which was passed down to us by the prophets and apostles, working under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is false and even demonic. The very existence of so many different churches and confessions and teachings all around us is a sign that Christ is coming. Number 8, Jesus says that lawlessness will abound, and because of it, the love of most will grow cold. We see such things happening. We see the lawless side, for example, when wicked people target and kill police officers and loot and burn down businesses. And we also see love growing cold as people react to such lawlessness with hatred and rage of their own. And finally, number 9, the one sign of Christ's coming that is pure joy and pleasant and pleasing. Jesus says in Matthew, "This gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come." Well, look at that. We are on the other side of the world from where these words were first written and spoken. And here the gospel has made its course. It's still being preached. It's reached into all the world, and it will continue to be preached until the coming of the Son of Man, no matter how much the devil and the world try to snuff it out. 9 signs, all of them there, except maybe the final one about the heavenly powers being shaken. This world is coming to an end. The leaves on the fig tree have budded and sprouted. Summer is coming. Now, none of the signs that we see taking place should give us reason to fear or to complain or to indulge in self-pity or, worse, in revenge. None of it. None of the signs that we see taking place around us should cause us to panic or to try to reverse the course of the world or to save the planet. The planet is unsalvageable. The human race is unsalvageable, unsavable, except for the one salvation that God Himself has prepared, not for the planet, but for the human race, that all men should repent, believe in Christ crucified, and be baptized for the forgiveness of sins, now, before it's too late, before the great and dreadful day of the Lord comes. And for those who have been baptized, God continues to provide for our salvation here with daily forgiveness of sins in His church, with the preaching and teaching of His Word, with the Holy Supper that gives us the body and blood of the Son of Man to keep renewing us in faith, in hope, and in love until He comes, right up until the day. But what can happen? Men can come to reject the word of Christ, even those who were once counted among His people. And we have a vivid reminder of that held before our eyes when Jesus says, "This generation will by no means pass away till all things take place." Now, to what generation was He referring? Clearly, many generations of men have come and gone since then. without the end having come. Well, for the most part, this phrase, this generation, is used in the Gospels to refer to the unbelieving Jewish nation, the physical descendants of Israel who were once the church of God, but then stopped being the church of God when they refused to believe that Jesus was God's Son and their promised Messiah, when they refused to repent and look to Him for salvation. Now, many of those who were unbelieving Jews have been converted since then and have joined the church of God throughout the world. But many more remain unconverted and hardened in their unbelief, and you can expect them to remain in that state all the way until the end of the world as a tragic warning for Christians of what happens when you're not ready for the coming of Christ. Heaven and earth will pass away, Jesus says. Sorry, Stephen Hawking, Mars is not a viable option for the human race to escape the day of the Lord because the heavens and earth will all be wiped out at His coming. But, Jesus says, my words will by no means pass away. Isn't that the reason to keep hearing and learning the word of Christ? His words will outlast even the earth itself. His promises will never fail. His truth will never change or become obsolete. In that word, Jesus pleads urgently with His dear disciples, but take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and cares of this life, and that day come on you unexpectedly, for it will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. Now, carousing can include things as simple as partying too much, becoming obsessed with sports, entertainment, obsessed with food and clothing and style. And drunkenness includes overindulgence in drink and in drug and in sex. Cares of this life include just about everything else. Technology, education, career, retirement, buying Christmas gifts. It's easy to become weighed down with all these things and to put the last day on the back burner of your heart. So watch and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. How do you escape all these things? By being preserved in faith and in watchfulness until the end, whether that end means our death before the last day or our being preserved in faith if we're still alive on the earth when the last day comes. And how do you stand before the Son of Man? We are sinners. Sinners can't stand in His presence. You know that the only thing that wipes out sin in God's courtroom is faith in Christ Jesus, who is righteous, who died for our sins. Faith that God Himself creates and sustains in us through the preaching of His Word. By faith in Him who died for us and rose again, that's all we need to be able to stand in His presence. Faith in Him will make us worthy to stand. And for those who believe in Christ Jesus, there is nothing to fear or dread on the day of His coming. Instead, Jesus says, when these things begin to happen, look up and lift up your heads, because your redemption draws near. Christ, our Redeemer, has paid for our sins already and reconciled us with the Father through faith, and made us children of God through holy baptism. Only the final redemption awaits, when this planet is destroyed and the rest of the human race is cast out into the torment of hell. For those who are found believing in Christ at His coming, the destruction of sin and death will not hurt us at all. There will be no punishment and no condemnation. It will be the end of sin and the end of death and the beginning of a new and glorious life in the new Jerusalem, the home of righteousness. With the blessing of the apostle that you heard in the epistle, now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please stand. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.